much. All right, I know we've got David Poile on the line with us, and I know he doesn't want to hear this stuff. So let's bring him up. He is Predators General Manager. It is time for us to start our Tuesday Weekly with him. David, how you doing?
I am ready to go. We just Matt Centennial. We had a light practice today, and had a little bit of a team meeting, and we're down to our roster opening night lineup. It was a terrific training camp, a really good training camp. I guess obviously we missed that from not being able to have a normal camp for the last 2 years, but I was really pleased with how everybody performed, how our coaches constructed camp, and we're ready to start the season on Thursday night.
I know we're going to get into that, David, in just a moment, but why was it important for you guys to put out, I think it was yesterday, to make it official and promote Scott Nickel to assistant general manager?
Well, Scott's done a really good job, since he's retired as a player. It's first of all, it's really neat, bringing back a former Predators player to actually work for us. Scott's always been one of my favorite players, player that didn't really ever get to the NHL until he was like 27 or 28, played a lot of games in the minors, but finally made it. I mean, he's kind of got that underdog role. He never was a guy that signed like long-term contracts. In fact, I think maybe he was on a series of one-year contracts his whole career, so he had to fight for everything. So I think he's really grounded. He's always been so passionate about hockey, even as a even when a player, talking to the manager, you could just tell that he loved the game. And he's been in charge of a lot of things for us with our development. Hiring Sebastian Bordalo and Rob Scuderi and Dave Rook, and then also the general manager of Milwaukee. So I think it's obviously for sure well deserved, and I think it kind of rounds out our management crew. I'm a lucky guy here, having three assistants and all doing different things with Brian Poile and Jeff Kelty and now Scott Nickel. So I think they're all young guys. They're all up and coming guys. I think it's fair to say. I think they all have characteristics to be a general manager someday. So it's just was the right thing to do, and real happy for Scott, and I'm real happy for myself that I have three great guys working for me.
Well said, and we've definitely enjoyed our conversations with Scott over the years. I'm trying to figure out the right way to phrase this. Igor Afanasyev really stood out to me. I will admit that his progress seems to be much further along than I initially anticipated as a second-round pick back in 2019. Did he surprise you guys with his progress in camp and preseason, or is this what you expected and you knew he was going to make it tough?
No, I would say he surprised us for sure. I think one thing that probably didn't take into consideration is last year with the COVID season, so many players having partial seasons or some junior players didn't even play, where Igor, with his Russian background, got to play a full year in Russia and actually got to play in the men's league, the KHL. And I think that gave him a huge head start on a lot of different players. So I thought he played really well. I'm very confident that he's going to be an important player for the Predators in the not too distant future. I mean, you got to like his size, his skating, he can score. I think just the few details of the game to make sure that he's, I guess, would say trustworthy defensively. But he was really, really close. And, one thing, and just as a sort of a segue, is that it's, we set our opening night lineup, but that's all it is an opening night lineup. If we've learned anything from last year, from good play, bad play, injuries, or what have you, we're going to need a lot of players. And I have to believe, whether it's, Tomasino, who was our first pick, gets to start in the game Thursday night, whether he's able to play regular, stick around, or he has to go to Milwaukee. I mean, I think there's going to be some changes in our lineup as the year goes along. And Igor is a guy that, based on what we saw at training camp, certainly should get some games this year.
Okay, so with that being said, it is a nice segue. You did announce opening night roster. Of course, Thursday night, Predators host the Seattle Kraken, so we'll get to see the new NHL franchise on Thursday evening. Phil Tomasino, why do you feel like he's – we know we had discussions with you. You said he was going to get every opportunity this offseason to make the roster. He has. Why did Tomasino, in your all's minds, why did he do enough? And what did you like about him for to make opening night roster?
Well, again, looking down the road, I'm very confident as the next couple of years go by in terms of getting a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and getting the just like Igor, the more of the details of the game, especially defensively, that he's going to be a definite part of our team, and hopefully he'll be part of our top six forwards. The one thing that always happens in every game is that the puck comes to him. I mean, and he gets great scoring chances, it's a skill, I guess, that you can't teach or what have you, but he's one of those guys that's just he's going to score. I just know he's going to score. And, he probably gets the nod to start here in Nashville over some other younger players based on our need in that area. I mean, one of the areas that we've talked about before is there's a lot that I like about our team, our work ethic, our physicality, a lot of things. But I think that we're going to have to find some secondary scoring, and Tomasino has a good track record of that. And, we're probably going to give him a chance here starting Saturday night.
You know the game of chicken you have to play whenever you put people on waivers. And, you've been able to do it most of the time over the years, and then there's times when people get claimed. And Rem Pitlick got claimed by the Minnesota Wild. And then you had to put some more guys on waivers yesterday to finalize this roster. Was there a little nervousness considering Pitlick was picked up and you were trying to push Connor Ingram through, or did you feel pretty confident? Did you feel confident that was going to happen?
Never quite confident in when you put guys on waivers, because you don't know exactly what everybody needs or what their situation is. For example, there's a couple of goaltenders that have been hurt in preseason. So when you talk about Ingram, I mean, that looks like a definite possibility that, he could get taken, even if it's just a stopgap situation for a team. So, I'm sure every team has likes their players a little bit, maybe more than other players, or maybe they have them rated a little bit higher than other players. But it also goes back to your depth that you want and you need at the start of the season. So, Pitlick was a player that we thought had a good chance to, either make our team or play games for us this year. And we certainly would have much rather had him down in Milwaukee this year with the opportunity to call him up to give him that opportunity to compete again at the for our team. So that's a little bit of a missing piece for our overall depth that we're planning on. So it could probably lead us to maybe making a trade or making an acquisition for somebody if we feel that we need to replace Rem. So those are the rules, and everybody has the same number of players on their roster today, so that's the way it goes. But ideally, we would have loved to have kept Rem, and because he was certainly getting closer to being a regular player in the National Hockey League.
Tanner Jeannot had the fourth and final goal on Saturday afternoon in the 4-3 victory over Carolina. He had three preseason goals. We know his story last year. Burst on the scene, got an opportunity because of a suspension and injury, and never looked back. And is it fair to say that he's taken even a step further forward? I didn't say that very correctly. He's got more to his game than we thought, right? I mean, is he a guy now where you guys feel confident that you can plug and play him just about anywhere in the lineup and you can get production?
Yeah, I think that his star is rising, if you will, and I can say that for Trent and who's also playing with Cole Decision on our so-called identity line, so-called fourth line. I think they're going to get more opportunities, which translates into more minutes this year. And Trenton scored in preseason, as you know, we should just point out, scored in preseason. So, if they are a fourth line, I don't know who's got a better fourth line in the league. I mean, they actually, maybe should be playing as our third line, and we'll have to see how Coach Hines uses all of our lines and what minutes they get, who's he's trying to match up with at different teams. But Tanner, as you know, is a really good story for us as a free agent. He's a big boy. He's got the physicality, defends well, he's going to kill penalties for us, and as you just pointed out, he's now scored some goals. So a lot of things are looking good for Tanner Jeannot and for his rise up in the Predators lineup this year.
Talking to David Poile, general manager, Nashville Predators, opening night, Thursday night against Seattle, opening night in the league tonight. And David, I hear a lot of people kicking around the term competitive rebuild, whether it be here or in the National, and people kicking around what does that mean. But to me, I see really a two-year process that you stated at the end of the games in the bubble when you guys lost to Arizona. I think your words then were a little more will, a little less skill, balancing that out. But I see a roster now here 2 years later, a lot younger, a lot bigger, and I do think the tough to play against definitely is apparent. Is that fair to say that over the last 2 years that's the direction it's gone?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would agree with that. I mean, I made that statement in an interview that competitive rebuild. If I could have that back, I would change that to competitive transition. I don't think that we're a team that's in an actual rebuild. I think we've made a few changes, and I do think we're more in transition. When a lot has been made of all the changes that we've made, but basically on our roster that we said yesterday, we have 24-man roster. There's at the most, there's four players that didn't play here in our organization last year or didn't play games for the Predators. So I think most teams have made probably more changes than the Predators, if you will. But we've been kind of brought under that umbrella of a team that's really, making a lot of changes. And I think it's been, I'd probably like to go more to it, just more of a transition. And yes, Willie, I think you're totally right on the age part. I think we were like fourth or fifth oldest team in the league last year, and we made, I think, open like fifth or sixth youngest team in the league. Now, you don't get any points for that, but I do think it shows that we are transitioning from an older to a younger lineup, and from that standpoint, I think that that's what we wanted to do. I don't think if we were the state with the old, as one of the oldest teams in the league, where we are sort of in the middle of a pack, that was the right way to go. So I like our team if I had my wish for the year, I'd like to see us at just a steady growth. The last year was more that roller coaster type of a year, from the bad beginning to the strong finish. But I'd like to see both our team and the individuals just get a little bit better as the season goes along and get stronger to the end. That's what my hope, and I think that's how it feels to me, is how this team is built right now.
There are a couple guys that are quite obvious around the league whose contracts are up at the end of the season. You've expressed desire to move forward with. Can you give us the latest update as you go into the season on Philip Forsberg and Mattias Ekholm?
It's just ongoing. I mean, again, it's always, don't love talking about negotiations because you just never know whether you're going to say you're close. I mean, you just never know. One day it's like it's never going to happen, and the next day you get a deal done. But our goal all along has been to sign Effie to get that done. I mean, he wants to be here. We want him here. I mean, we just have a difference in where we are right now, but hopefully by continual conversation, which we are having continual conversation, regular conversation, if you will, we'll get that done. I think, Philip, we've had some conversations with his agent, and I think that's going to be, a little bit slower. I do think it would speed up after if Eki was signed, but I think there's kind of an order, and I think we see that, and I think Philip and his agent see that. So, again, we have a lot of time. Philip's in a really good place. He looks really good here at training camp, and I think he's going to have a terrific year. And so, Eki is the guy that we'd like to try to do at this time, and then, Philip will be having conversations with him at the appropriate time.
We're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager, who will now join us every Tuesday at 11:15 here on Darren Donick and Chase, and looking forward to that. You segued perfect into my question with Philip Forsberg, but Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, obviously a lot of eyes on them and seeing how they're going to perform not only as individuals, but now it would appear as a line for opening night. And, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, whether they want to admit it or not, there's going to be some pressure there to try and perform. But how do, have you seen in camp that they use that pressure, that chip on their shoulder, however you want to put it, to enter this season and try and perform?
I think everything right now, you couldn't ask for more out of those three individuals as individuals and how they practiced. And they were all drivers, if you will, in terms of us having a really good training camp, and in the games they played, they were our best players. And that's really the bottom line, is we need our best players to be our best players. And if that becomes the case, then I think everything will be worked towards a really good season for us. They're not immune to the stuff that's been said or the criticism. And, it's just there's so many inconsistencies last year in our game as individuals and as a team that we just hoping to, it's been talked about. And I've had meetings with them, and John, our coach, has had meetings with them. And all I can tell you is that they've come to the camp in really good shape. They've come to camp doing everything that we needed to have done every day. And as I repeat, they were our best players. And it's a new year, and they have to be better. They have to be more consistent, and they have to be our best players. And if they can do that, that will go a long way to us having a good season.
Keeping with the theme of getting younger, two players you acquired this offseason, Cody Glass and Philip Myers, will make their Predators debut on Thursday. What have you seen out of those guys through this, and we haven't even mentioned this, real training camp for the first time in 2 years?
Philip Myers has been really good, playing mostly with Matthias Ekholm, which is a great player to play with in terms of a mentor, someone that you can learn from. I think John Hines sees him as probably our first two guys out on the penalty killing on defense. Obviously, you love their size and a little bit of physicality. Again, another young player that gets traded for the first time, so I think there's probably some learning curve to the Predators, our system, our players, that type of thing. But all in all, I think he's in a really good place. Cody Glass is another young player that was coming off of a trade and coming off of a knee injury. I think his camp has been good, but he has not he's not scored yet. That's an area that he's always excelled at, is doing things well offensively. And I know that's probably something that he would like to have happen here as soon as the first game, kind of get that monkey off his back, if you will. But he's got some talent. He does some things in practices in terms of his vision and making plays. And again, I just think he needs a little bit of a runway here to get his overall game and his confidence together. But on the surface, he's probably going to be a player that's in a good position. I think John Hines is going to play him behind Joey and Granlund's line, which means he should get good and fair matchups to allow him to be successful.
David, real quick before we let you go, 23 years ago you had spent over a year building this team, hiring coaches, putting a roster together, and then finally had your first roster for opening night. Ron Francis has been doing the same for Seattle, as they'll make their debut tonight in the National Hockey League. What do you remember about game day, your first game day with the Predators after all of that hard work, and what do you think that Ron Francis is going through today?
Yeah, well, for me, it was so exciting. I had a lot of family at the first game. A lot of came from the Washington Capitals. A lot of staff came to that game, so I remember all the support, and I had my fingers crossed. It was, we lost our first game, and it was like, you're almost like, oh man, are we ever going to win a game? So, you just don't know what you have exactly. But I must tell you, that's I've done a lot of things in hockey, what have you. But the expansion was something I'm so glad I did versus, you know, if I had an opportunity to go to another team. I just loved every part of it in terms of, you know, building the team, selecting the people who you work with, and scouts, coaches, all that stuff. That was straight at the top of my list of the best things. So I loved it. And again, the crowd, you know, right from day one was very supportive of our team. And it's not only gotten better, but it's certainly gotten more knowledgeable. So I'd love to, when they started saying that when we first got there, was Nashville was a non-traditional city, and I don't hear that anymore. So I know we're a hockey city now, and we're loved, in the city, both hopefully on the ice, but as I would keep mentioning all the time, I really think we're a big part of the community, and with our players and all of our staff participate in the community, I think has been really special and separates the Predators from a lot of other franchises.
Well said. It's good to talk to you again. We're looking forward to doing this every Tuesday. It should be a special and fun night in there Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. David, thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay, guys. Look forward to it. Talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. That is Predators General Manager David Poile. We'll come back. We'll discuss some Pred stuff that you heard there on the other side to close out hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.